prophecy from someone who isn't a prophecy teacher on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope your time of worship was as wonderful as my time of worship at my church. And I hope your pastor's sermon was as beneficial to you as my pastor's sermon was to me. If you have your Bible open into the book of Daniel, and I know some of you guys that can hardly wait for me to get to this next session. We're going to start at chapter 7, and this is going to be a tremendous letdown. I just want you to know, we get so many questions about prophecy, and there was a time when I was much younger when I would have spoken from Sinai because I was sure. The older I get, the less sure I am, and that's because the more books I read and the more interpretations I know, and I realize that nobody's got it right. Everybody's got a little bit of it right, and that little bit is this: Jesus is coming back, so look busy. But other than that, this is not something that I ought to be saying. But I'm committed to getting through the Old Testament survey. Speaking, somebody sent me an email, things you shouldn't say to a police officer. Sorry, officer, I didn't realize my radar detector wasn't plugged in. Don't say, aren't you the guy from Village People? Don't say, hey, you must have been doing about 125 to keep up with me. Good job. Don't say, are you Andy or Barney? And don't say, I thought you had to be a relatively good condition for a police officer. Don't say, I pay your salary. Don't say, gee, officer, that's terrific. The last officer only gave me a warning, too. Don't say, do you know why you pull me over? Okay, just so one of us does, etc. There are certain things I ought not be saying, and probably prophecy is one of them. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I'm committed and spiritual and together. And I got to get through Daniel, and I can't avoid it. So let's pray, and then let's turn to prophecy from the book of Daniel. Father, as we come to this portion of your word that speaks of things that are to come and things that are now, we pray that you would oversee the teaching, that it would be clear, that it would be what you would have the teacher say, and that you would apply it to our minds and our hearts. Father, sometimes we fight over these issues, and you told us that we're to be one, and that the sign of our belonging to Jesus would be our love. So, Father, make that a reality in our lives. Help us to enjoy the study of prophecy, to look forward to your return, when all the books will be balanced and everything will be cleaned up. But, Father, between now and then, teach us to love each other, to enjoy the study and to disagree and still be friends. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the tough stuff they're going through, the pain and the heartbreak. You know it all. Meet us at the point of our needs. Father, may the way you treat your children be a witness to those who don't belong to you. Heal and cleanse and change and forgive and empower and give us joy in the midst of our circumstances. Father, we're thankful, so thankful for all that you do for us. But if you'd never done anything, if you'd never loved us, if you'd never sent your Son, you're still God. You're the sovereign ruler, creator, and sustainer of all that is, and you are worthy of our praise and our worship. And now, Father, on this week's broadcast, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we're going to do as we continue with our Old Testament survey, we're up to the book of Daniel, is that I'm going to deal with some of the eschatological teaching in the book of Daniel. You say what? Eschatological means future. The eschaton is the future event. And so we're going to talk about prophecy in the book of Daniel. Now, what I'm going to do, this is my purpose, I'm going to take some time today, and it's going to be dull, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to summarize, and I may take tomorrow to do that, chapter 7 through 12. Now, it is my fond hope that you will read these chapters for yourself, but I'm just going to summarize them, those chapters 7 through 12. And then I'm going to take some time to give you some alternate interpretations of the chapters that I have just summarized for you. There's the historical interpretation. There's the Qumran interpretation that comes from the Qumran caves. There's the rabbinical interpretation. What have the rabbis said about this, the Jewish interpretation? We're going to look at the interpretation of the early church fathers. We're going to look at the dispensational interpretation of those chapters of Daniel. And then we're going to look at the traditional interpretation. So at least you'll have sort of a smorgasbord of prophecy. Now, when I said I'm not a prophecy teacher, I didn't mean to say that I don't know a lot about prophecy. I do. I just am confused. I mean, I know a lot of the facts. I just don't know exactly how to interpret them. So I'm going to put that ball in your court, and we're going to spend this week doing that sort of thing. So you want to stay with us as we do it. First, let me take the time to summarize these chapters in Daniel that have to do with prophecy. Chapter 7. Daniel sees four beasts come out of the sea. Now, the sea is probably mankind. The final beast has 10 horns. In the midst of the horns, there's a little horn, and this little horn destroys all the big horns. Then the scene shifts to heaven, where the Ancient of Days, when you read Ancient of Days, that means God, is sitting on a throne. Then one who is like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, comes to the Ancient of Days, and is given dominion and glory and kingdom. The 14th verse of the 7th chapter, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. All right, chapter 8, let me tell you what's in that one. Can you imagine a pagan flipping across the dial coming across this? Pagan would go, whoa, I'm listening to somebody who is really neurotic. What in the world are they talking about? Listen, if you're not a believer, you can listen if you want to, but I wouldn't recommend it. Because if we're confused, you're big time confused. You won't have the foggiest idea what we're talking about. All right. Chapter 8. The vision of the ram with two horns. The ram is attacked by a he-goat. He won. The four horns appeared out of one another. Little horn grew and became great. Interpretation, the ram equals the united power of the Medo-Persian Empire, some say. The goat is the king of Greece. Against Greece, a great power would arise. Many say that's Rome, and destroy Greece, and eventually would be destroyed. You got that? Chapter 9. Daniel himself goes before God, and he confesses the sin of the people. It's a reminder of some of the other prophets, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, who did that. Then God gives Daniel a vision, one of the most important in the Bible, the vision of 70 weeks. Now, we're going to look at that vision of 70 weeks in detail later on. Chapter 10. In this chapter, Daniel has a vision of an angel, and it's similar to John in Revelation. The angel comforts Daniel, some indication that the angel is Christ, and that this is a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. The angel speaks generally about the last days. Now, this chapter is interesting because it gives us and is an amazing view of the supernatural realm. Angelology can be a lot of material about the study of angels can be found in this chapter. Chapter 11. I got to move fast before I run out of time here. The revelation of the angel is given. Three kings in Persia and a fourth richer than all the others. Fourth king would cause trouble, probably Alexander. The description of Antiochus Epiphanes, he will be defeated and killed on his way to Jerusalem. All right. I know. Chapter 12, stay with me. Daniel, in this chapter, hears how the whole mess is going to work out. Michael would stand for the people of God, and there would be a great time of trouble. Then a resurrection, the dawning of a new age. Daniel is told to seal up the prophecy until the time of the end, and the book closes with these words, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy hill of God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He came to me and said to me, 'O Daniel, I have now come to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, a word went forth, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly beloved.'" Okay. I know. Tomorrow, be sure and listen, because we're going to look at some of the interpretations, or at least begin that. But it's important that you remember what was said to Daniel, because it can be said to you. You're greatly beloved, because you know it's going to work out in the end. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you haven't gotten the little booklet, Genesis to Esther, that we're offering, taken from the teaching that I've done on Key Life, it'll be helpful in your own Old Testament survey. Now, it's the first of two or three little booklets that we're offering, and I think you'll find it really helpful. If you'll just let us know, ask for Old Testament Survey, Genesis Esther, and we'll send you the first of those booklets, and we'll do that absolutely free. You can get it by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And listen, if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it, because we give away so much stuff here. If you don't help, we're going to be in trouble. Now, I realize that most of you can't. But if you can, pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Include a gift in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Mercy's Freedom. What you as a Christian no longer have to do because of God's mercy. Hey, listen, guys, I got to get out of here. But first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.